Hi, I'm Oliver Berquez, co-founder of 40Fit, and welcome to the Brain, Brawn and Business podcast. It's a 4 at 4 series, which is a new feature I'm doing on the podcast where I get an expert guest on to offer 4 tips and advice in their specialist area at 4 p.m. Tips around business, fitness, mindset and performance. The episodes will be aired exclusively live on my social pages and my Brain, Brawn and Business Facebook group, with the podcast episode released a few days later. With the current coronavirus epidemic upon us and everyone having to isolate and work from home, now more than ever, it's important to look after your physical and mental health. And I want this podcast to support everyone to do that. Episode is coming up now, and I hope you all enjoy it. Hi, everyone. Just before I start the podcast episode, just a little intro to my guest and the 4 areas of focus. So Chris Shambrook is from Planet K2. Chris was the sports psychologist through 5 Olympic cycles for GB rowing. So he has worked with some seriously phenomenal competitors and very high profile athletes. So his knowledge and expertise in mental performance is second to none. The 4 areas he focused on in the podcast is self-compassion, you are stressed, training mindset, and 100% mentality. I know you're going to get a lot of value from the podcast episode. And as always, reach out to me and let me know what you found valuable, and hope you all enjoy it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to a 4 at 4, my Brain Born and Business podcast, 4 at 4. It's my new podcast series at the moment I'm doing, which is 4 tips at 4 p.m. But a 4 tips with my guest around their specialist area. And I think this current climate at the moment, now more than ever, it's so important we can find ways just to, I suppose, increase performance, increase the edge, stay on top of the game and whatever it may be, because obviously it's challenging times. So just the guest I'm bringing in, this is the second of this sort of style of series I'm doing. The guest bringing in today is a guy called Chris Shambrook. Chris Shambrook from Planet K2. Chris is done 5 Olympic cycles as a British rowing, GB rowing psychologist. So his knowledge and experience and expertise, I don't think there's any money better around psychology and mental performance in sport. But I think mental performance in sport resonates across to working everyday life and our business performance and work. So has such... I think such relevant in everything that everyone does right now. So, yeah, that's Chris. It's Planet K2. I should certainly check the guys out at the end, which I will mention what they do. And that's the podcast. So, Chris, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, pleasure. Great to be here. Good to see you. And nice to have some contact.
Yeah. And how's life, mate? How you been?
Yeah, pretty good. We're, as everyone, kind of... Evolving, adapting, responding, reacting, keeping stuff going where we can, where there's continuity, being innovative where we can as well. So, actually pretty good. We work from home a lot at Planet K2, so we do a lot of work in the corporate world as well as having that sporting background. So there's a fair amount of our stuff has been home-based for 17 years, so that's not been too much of a change for quite a few of us. A lot of us out on the road as well, delivering with customers sort of pretty frequently. So it's been kind of accentuate what we know about the good stuff to do with sort of working from home, bring a lot of our performance expertise to that for ourselves, but also for our customers. So, yeah, it's been a busy few weeks, and making sure that we're looking a little bit to the future to keep everything secure sort of commercially for us as a business, and also supporting our customers as well as we can.
Yeah, brilliant. And what are you doing on a daily basis, Chris, just to sort of stay on top of the game and keep yourself firing, really? Because obviously you have to serve, you have to serve people, so you've got to keep yourself in check and on top of the game.
Yeah, taking a lot of our own medicine, to be honest. We've known that we are at home and consistently at home, and accentuation of kind of some of the routines and rhythms. So we as a business have been connecting much more virtually than we typically would do to make sure that we're kind of aligned and want to be on message personally. I'm keeping pretty much similar sort of starting work time than I typically would do at home. So, you know, just a typical morning routine, but I'm actually accentuating a lot more the structure in my day than I typically would. So I'm kind of color coding different bits of my diary, sort of photo, sort of getting a screen grab of that every day and sharing it with the rest of the team so that there's much more kind of accountability for periods of the day where normally if I'm working from home, it's just a blank canvas and there's not that sense of accountability. So to keep the flow, keep the rhythm, you know, I've kind of got more structure and then doing a lot of stuff with, you know, keeping the hydration levels up even more and sort of keeping the activity levels up where I can as well, just to sort of get brain and body working as well as possible in amongst the working hours.
But I think that's a really good lesson. I mean, we're going to obviously cover some four bits in a minute, which we'll go on to. But I think for me, the daily habits are still got to be consistent. You know, what we do is reflected in our daily routine, daily habits. I say it a lot. So, you know, like food prep the night before or, you know, making sure you've got exercise or walking, whatever that looks like. And you like to say, blocking out your time to do things. There has to be that sort of discipline and consistency. Otherwise, when you leave it to chance, it doesn't get done. So, you know, what gets tracked, what gets managed, that type of approach. So you saying that, and actually I think you saying you've done even more of that now. Is it sort of interesting? Yeah. Maybe it's a way that when you get back to normal, it might be a way you actually do things moving forward or,
I think certainly as a business, there'll be things that we carry on doing that we're doing collectively at the moment that are adding a lot of value. Personally, I'll see what the balance looks like, but it's helpful at the moment because I know I need to make much more of a commitment to switching off and switching on every day, one day at a time, because there's much more similarity. If I'm sort of travelling a couple of days a week to go to customers and I'm working at home a couple of days a week, you know, the diary's kind of taking care of itself much more. The similarity now just means accentuating that stuff. But, you know, I'm always looking for better ways of managing my effectiveness. I know I'm never going to find one, so I just keep looking for more ways. So I'll see how long this
lasts. Yeah. Never stop learning, do we? Testing, learn, test, repeat, review. Yeah. It's really good. And so just on the, you know, from you moving on to obviously the work that you've been doing, obviously still serving clients, you'd be on top of your game around sort of daily routine. Which will lead in now to the, I suppose, the four tips for mental performance. So, which is obviously the focal point of the podcast. So, I wonder if you could sort of share the 4 points, Chris, and then lead into them and give a bit more depth.
I can quickly paint my wall.
Love that. Brilliant.
So there was four things that I wanted to sort of share, which I think are connected and they follow a logical sequence in my head. Number one is going to be self-compassion. At this time, primarily because number two, there's value in sort of admitting that you are stressed. Number three, if we understand what a training mindset is and how we adapt and respond to change and training and development, that's a useful mental reference point at the moment. And I kind of always talk about the 100% mentality as just a general change of mindset for a lot of people, which is particularly appropriate at the moment, which kind of, you know, link those things together. So those are the four things, and we can kind of go through those one at a time as needed.
Yeah, brilliant. That's great. So, excellent. Number one.
Yeah, so number one, self-compassion. This one's really interesting. So I think from a psychology point of view, when you look at, there's a really nice sort of trio of things within self-compassion. One is be kind to yourself as often as possible when you can. So you come from a position of self-acceptance and kindness to yourself rather than we tend to practice judgment and criticism of ourselves. And given what we're going through at the moment, the kind of self-kindness bit is a really useful starting point within the self-compassion. The other bit of self-compassion that's really helpful is remembering a kind of a common humanity. So a lot of the time we tend to think, oh, no one else is reacting like I am. No one else would be like this. But actually, self-compassion says, do you know what? Common humanity. It's likely that most people are acting in a similar way. We've got similar reactions, you know, sort of take a lot of solace from the fact that how you're responding as a person is being shared by other people. And now more than ever, we kind of know the importance of connection and similarity and support. But actually, from a position of common humanity, that's really helpful. And the third bit of self-compassion that I think is that adds a nice picture is just the discipline of some mindfulness and just sort of taking that occasional pause, self-reflection, time out, just to kind of go, right, am I noticing what's going on for me and how I'm feeling and how I'm reacting, how I'm thinking, how my body is, And if I do that regularly, I'll make sure that I don't go on any downward spiral and I can kind of keep hitting the reset switch relatively regularly. So those three things of kindness, common humanity and mindfulness, I think at the moment are just a really useful service that you can extend to yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, with all the change that's going on, it's more important than ever.
And then mindfulness, Chris, for you, if you know, you realise, you know, when you check in on that, you said the third point there, and you realise you might feel a bit stressed or you're decision fatigue or something that's never finished. What type of strategy might you do or do you advise to do if, you know, if you're feeling that? Because we'll get decision fatigue in the day, even working from home and stress is coming into play.
I think really important, and this is where the kind of sport parallel comes in for everyone. You know, athletes and coaches will plan sort of work time, rest and recovery time. So you don't expect to kind of just train all day and wait till you notice you're falling off it a bit. There's a set period of sort of a real kind of focus of we're working on something specifically. So the mindfulness or the downtime is built in. So I'd say, you know, don't wait until you sort of think you might be noticing something. Build in a relative frequency of, you know, four times through the course of the day after, you know, 90 minutes, 60 minutes, I'm going to stop and I'm just going to check in with myself and I'm going to breathe in a really calm, controlled manner, or I'm going to go and walk outside and notice the temperature, the sounds around me. I'm just going to switch into that mindfulness mode. And I think if people do that in a consistent manner, you don't wait for the impairment before you try and fix it. You just kind of keep hitting that reset switch so the pressure doesn't build up too much.
Yeah, and do you know what? I think that's so important. And I think, like, people feel like they have to do just hours and hours of work and just keep going and I've got to do it. I can't take a break. I can't afford to. But I'm a firm believer, and whether it's an hour's exercise or 5-minute breaks every 45 minutes, like you've just said there, if you've been working, whatever it may be, but those gaps or breaks in the day, if they added up to an hour or 2 hours, you might not think you have the time for it. But I personally think 2 hours less work time, if you're doing, say, 9 hours a day, just an example, will make 7 hours more effective than the nine anyway. And I think once you are aware of that and maybe just track and see your performance and analyze it, you people realize that they don't have to just keep going.
And you know, the whole thing around interval training that athletes do, you know, that's designed to kind of do the work and then have some recovery time, and then you kind of learn to deal with that level of work a little bit better. But you know, you have to practice the interval and the downtime with the same discipline that you practice the kind of going for it as well. So you know, that is absolutely right. You know, enjoy the fact that if you get your intervals of work and rest right through the course of the day, you will probably end up being more productive, you know, as we go on. And, you know, there's a little bit of that in one of the later.
Yeah, cool. And I know we're going to mention the performance room at the end, one of the websites for you, but I've been on the website and I've seen it all. There's such good content around that. And actually people can get some content of that. I know we're mentioning at the end, but I definitely advise people to go and check out the performance room at the end.
Yeah.
Great, mate. Is there anything you want to add on point one?
I just think it's a regular, it's one of the things that at the moment, if people realise the benefit of it now, I'd encourage them to think about just keeping it going even when it doesn't feel so strange as it currently does for us. You know, the kind of self-compassion, that trio of things of the kindness, common humanity and mindfulness, that they'll keep you making the most of it when we've got a tailwind behind us rather than a raging headwind that we're all facing into at the moment. So, that stuff's key. But I think, you know, that's the other bit why I had this, the second one in here, of, you know, from a psychology perspective, I think it's just helpful for everyone at the moment to kind of go, right, I'm not going to get in denial. I'm not going to start kind of going, right, this is affecting everyone else and not me. Everyone is stressed more than they typically would be at the moment. So, you know, psychologists hat on, stress occurs when there's a mismatch between perceived demand and perceived ability to cope. Our demands have just changed massively in a short space of time, and we're facing something we've never faced before. So we don't know that we've got the ability to cope with those demands. So, our, you know, our personal stress levels have risen. Even if it's not having a negative effect on us massively, If we assume that from the outset, you know what, I'm doing self-compassion, I'm being kind to myself, common humanity says, likelihood I'm stressed here. And therefore, what should I be doing to make sure I'm taking care of myself physically and mentally? so that I can kind of, you know, do the right level of reset, do the right level of nutrition, do the right level of activity. If my mindset is I'm stressed, I need to work harder. And you know, for me, this comes again from working with the athletes in an endurance sport for a long period of time. There'd be bits of their training program where they knew the coaches were going to work them really, really hard to break the system down to then for it to build back up stronger. We've just been thrown into a period like that unexpectedly. In those periods, the athletes knew we're going to be pushed to our limits. I need to be absolutely on the money with my recovery. So I get my sort of, you know, recovery drinks ready. I get my recovery snacks ready. I make sure I go and get a massage. I make sure that I'm resting regularly. They up the recovery side of it because they know the stress level has been upped as well. So you just try and balance things out. And I think given what we've, the curveball we've all been thrown, it just says, look, we're all stressed, so let's accentuate the stuff that helps mitigate against an ongoing negative impact.
Yeah, brilliant. It's really good, mate. Yeah, it's really good. Do you think, you know, like with around the stress and things, obviously there is some good stress and there's obviously then extreme stress. Like, do you think there's a sweet spot for that and how can people maybe recognise it?
Yes, yeah, so I guess if at the moment you sort of, you know, there is a lot of unfamiliar. So I've always talked for a long time about, you know, make sure that you're the consistent factor in an inconsistent environment. And when you feel like the consistent factor and the environment changes, it's more likely to be positive stress because you can step in, lead with your strengths and kind of go, right, I'm ready to respond. In this instance, it, you know, this has all been very unexpected for us. So it's likely that it's not instantly helpful because we haven't got a toolkit available to kind of go, oh, it's great. I've got my pandemic stress response toolkit in place. I'll just roll that out and I'm not, you know, I'm not adversely affected by this. So I do think at the moment, you know, things will be feeling different in this week than they were a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, it's likely that we should just consider that we're going to do that extra self-compassion because we are stressed in perhaps not the helpful way. For the majority
yeah,
of us.
Brilliant. Really true. Really good, mate. Cool. Anything else on number two?
I just think that point I made about, you know, be the consistent factor in an inconsistent environment, that one allows us to sort of move to point three, which is very much around, you know, if we approach what's going on at the moment with a training mindset, you know, again, in, you know, fitness staff, in athletes training, they know that they are going through a process of being stretched and stressed in order to adapt and get stronger. So classic one for most people, I guess, a couple of weeks ago was they'll have started doing loads more activity and fitness stuff that they've not done for ages. So the sort of, you know, the people doing Joe Wicks's class with their kids will have been stretching things. And funnily enough, the muscles will have been sore because they'll have had delayed onset of muscle soreness. But, you know, athletes know that if you work a muscle harder, the sign is that it's going to be sore and then you come back a bit stronger as a result of it, but it feels uncomfortable. I think we need to be taking that mindset and that kind of approach with everything that's going on. So working from home, we're stretching working from home muscles and things are going to feel uncomfortable and a little bit difficult. But if we stick with it, we start getting the sense of, actually, that feels a bit easier today. I'm making progress. I'm on the upward curve. So when we get the kind of the stimulus to pressure us, we grow back a bit stronger. I'd just be encouraging everyone to look for the signs of personal growth and adaptation in everything over the last couple of weeks. If you'd been plotting, how easy has it felt? You know, are you getting signs of it's easier? It might not be totally easy and it might still be a hassle. But if day on day you're seeing signs of progress, we're getting this training mindset of I'm going in the right direction. I'm happy that there are good signs here. So I think this particular outlook is a useful one and it fits in with the self-compassion piece, being kind to yourself, looking for the successes, the growth and the development, building a medium-term track record rather than saying I need to be perfect at everything tomorrow and being disappointed because you're still working hard. So that, you know, this one's particularly relevant and useful.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Really good. And I think as well, you know, something that which, you know, in conversations with clients or with people is, you know, we're forced into a way of working. And So, say, whatever the work we were doing before this maybe has stopped, shut down, closed temporarily, Whatever it may be. So we're forced into a new way of working. And
Yeah. As you just said, you're not going to get it right. I just think, you know, like for myself, you know, use myself as an example. Gym closes. Okay, so that can't control. That never happened before. So it's like, right, what can I do now to adapt, to serve the clients in the current situation, to sort of make it work? So, yeah, we go online. We create some online stuff. And then even that might not be perfect, but that doesn't matter. You know, you're trying to get to a place and you've got to try it and test it and then review it and then you can move on. And actually, if you have the ability to just overcome that and accept it, it is what it is, and then you can move forward. And look, the situation is what it is. So you have to only...
It's having that practice mindset whilst you are still trying to go out on the field of play.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that falls in well with number three. And then, you know, and then just if you take the pressure off. And I think as well for people in a working environment, that sort of, you know, say business owners might be checking in or looking at this, and if they're with their staff or how they're trying to get their staff, they're trying to serve people, is that actually just a bit of humility to say, look, this might not be perfect. It doesn't matter. So that you're managing expectations in your clients or the people you're dealing with as well. I think that can help.
Yeah, and think about typically how people have been used to working is that they'll kind of set some goals and some objectives somewhere down the line, and then we'll work backwards from those, and you know, they'll be sort of checking in with those goals every day. Are we getting closer to that finish line or that, you know, that level of performance that we've set? All the goals have gone out the window. We can't go to a future point and work backwards. We kind of have to be in the here and now, looking at yesterday. Am I getting a sense of traction, progress, improvement, less effort, more confidence? If I can build up a short-term track record, that gives me momentum and confidence to keep to make tomorrow another good day. So we've got to get now into much more of this kind of the training in a training mindset. The athletes are in the here and now, following the training program to get better, in the knowledge that it will get them to the Olympics in the best shape possible. And now they kind of go again because the Olympics are another 12 months away. So, you know, they have to stay in the training mindset for, you know, a lot longer as well. Sure, they'll have competitions on the way, but there's still much more of that kind of development challenge to go. How well can I develop one day at a time? Which is absolutely what
we're doing. Adapt and overcome, isn't it? Definitely. Adapt and overcome. Yeah. Brilliant, mate. Anything around training mindset you wanted to cover or say?
I think one of the other things there is just, you know, training mindset. Athletes are working with coaches, so they recognise that someone is helping them train and get better. So I just wonder who everyone's coach is at the moment. Who are the people that they're kind of anticipating are helping them get better, rather than thinking, my boss is expecting me to do X and do Y and deliver this. You know, that's not helping. But actually, if you're thinking, you know, my boss, my teammates are here to support my improvement every day, how can I help them to help me and improve? That, you know, just bring the support in. That would be a really important one.
Brilliant.
Right now.
Brilliant, mate.
I guess if we're kind of doing the self-compassion, we've got the kind of acceptance that we're stressed, we're doing the training mindset really well, then we move into the kind of, well, day by day, if we're in the here and now, looking to adapt and grow and learn and develop, the 100% mindset every day just adds an extra layer of, self-management and expectation management in there. So 100% mentality for me has always been around, you know, on any given day we can wake up. If we wake up in the best shape, best frame of mind of our life, we're 10 out of 10 ready to do a great day. That happens rarely. A lot of the time we'll be waking up maybe five out of 10 ready, 6 out of 10 ready, 7 out of 10 ready. So the job is to get 5 out of 5 or 6 out of 6 or 7 out of 7 in the knowledge that you've done loads and loads of development work in the past. You think of all the qualifications you've got, the experience that you've got, the performances you've delivered in the past. You've got all of this stuff that if you make today a 5 out of 5 day, it will still deliver a lot of value. If you make it 6 out of 6, it will deliver a lot of value. If you get used to just holding yourself accountable to making the best of the version of yourself that you are every single day, that also helps a lot. You know, you'll ease into the performances much, much more. And then if you're doing the other bits of numbers 1, 2, and 3, chances are you're more likely to get 7s, 8s, 9s out of 10 feeling ready as we go through this as well. So we get the upside of this. We extend the self-compassion, so there's a slightly better version of us available each day, and we get 100% out of that. So very slowly, with these four points, we regain control over a situation that's taken control away from us and undermined our confidence. For me, this stuff just kind of helps build it one day at a time, increase a little bit more control, increase a little bit more confidence, and make the most of the connections we've got around us. Really strong recipe, but one that we're going to have to stick with rather than know that it's going to, you know, deliver, you know, great results.
Yes,
for
great.
Us. We're going to have to deliver.
And I think, you know, that 100% mentality, you know, being the best you can be, but knowing that's not perfect, that takes the pressure off, you know. I always say yeah. to people, you know, clients, you know, good, not perfect, you know, perfect diet, perfect lifestyle, perfect outcomes, perfect scenarios, perfect situation. They don't really exist. So
yeah.
accept that. And I love the 100% mentality, which you've just said there. So you're still going to, you know, like you say, 6 out of 6, 7 out of 7 day, whatever it may be. It just takes the pressure off. You know, you're going to be the best for that day and that's going to be good enough.
Yeah, and it's that, yeah, having started with the self-compassion of, you know, understanding that, you know, all of the things that you accept to be good about yourself, you're kind of doing 100% mentality in the knowledge that, you know, you are someone who is, you know, has got a huge amount of experience at doing what you need to do. And yes, the game has changed a bit, but who better than you to be making the most of the version of yourself that you are? It's not as if you're rocking up and being asked to do, you know, something that you've never, ever done before and got no reference point for as to what good looks like. So you know, these four together, I think, provide nice separate ingredients for people to focus in on which one might be most relevant, but they do knit together to actually give a good package that actually they complement each other.
Yeah, well. I think it's a brilliant four points you made. And I think the other thing is as well, and I think it's really important, mate, for people to listen to, is by looking after yourself and taking on board these four points and, yeah, being the best you can be, you're going to serve others as well. And that not maybe not just when a working environment, you know, you're serving your clients or your colleagues, but that's your loved ones and helping people. Because, you know, everyone needs to help each other out there at the moment. It's that type of environment. It's that type of situation we're in. So if you can be in this space, this spot, you know, feeling good and you've got, like you said, self-compassion there and this, you're going to be the best you can be on it on that given day. You're going to really help people as well, which I think in the current climate is needed as well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and you know, you've mentioned the sort of the link I've got at the bottom here of the performance room. We've got on the sort of homepage of that a COVID-19 kind of link to take through to some specific stuff around working from home. But one of the things, you know, as you've mentioned, it is a great infographic that Matt pulled together on the team about, you know, putting your own oxygen mask on first. You know, the self care for leaders or self care for anyone to kind of go, right, I've got to take care of me. Exactly as you are on the plane, put your own oxygen mask on first before you start thinking about looking after everyone else. Because, you know, there's no point looking after everyone else if you're slowly sort of getting, you know, being less and less capable of providing that care as well. So that's a really nice, you know, that's a metaphor that's been used a lot by other people. And we've stolen that with pride and sort of added a bit of a performance.
But it's great. I mean, look, that type of analogy is perfect. I love the analogy as well. You know, it's great. So, Chris, they're brilliant four. Before we go on to, obviously, how people can connect with you and obviously talk about performance from which has been mentioned, anything you want to say more around these four in embellish it or anything you want to leave the listeners to leave the listeners with today?
Yeah, so you know, this is really interesting for us because there's a lot of the recipes and the ingredients that we talk about from a performance perspective. We've typically been using those over the last 17 years in a lot of the different businesses that we work in. Because, you know, day to day, people are facing into tough objectives, tough goals, lots of pressure, lots of stress to deliver. And actually resetting to some of these things helps people deal with a very target driven culture that they might be part of. Now that we're all facing a different kind of scenario of pressure, these things still have merit. But I would absolutely say to everyone, learn the lessons of these now, because you can go back into a target obsessed culture. When we get back to something like normal or the new normal, you'll be able to go back in, keep hold of these ingredients because they will let you engage with that environment with far greater sense of confidence and motivation. And you know, I think this reset is very valuable for people to sort of focus in on, looking out.
Yeah, I love that. This is...
That's even worse.
Okay, can you go and see Mummy?
I'm waiting for my
Yeah, he's coming. Okay. All right. Go and see mummy, yeah? Okay. Go and see mummy. You'll see that. Okay. This is like... Okay. All right. Come in. All right. You okay? Going to sit here. Come and sit on my lap. Come on.
Come and join in. Come and join in.
There we are. That's a live first on the podcast, Chris.
Indeed. It's why we have to have the self-compassion. We've got all
exactly,
these other things.
Exactly. But I was going to say as well, you know, going back to, you know, what we're saying there. And actually, I think people taking on these points here and the coping strategies that we're having to get through this, it's only going to leave people in a better place as they come out of this. And actually, when you hit these hit tough times, maybe not an epidemic again, please not, but you can draw on that because you've experienced it, you've been there and you overcome it.
Yeah. And you know, really, really importantly, these are the kind of self-care strategies that when you're going well and things are flying, you still want to do these things. So we don't need to wait for the adversity to get the benefit of these kind of things. At the moment, they have a particular power and relevance because of us needing to react and respond and, you know, kind of deal with something that is in adversity. But all of the qualities that help us in adversity typically help us when we're trying to push stuff forward, when we've got momentum as well. So, you know, I'd say, you know, keep hold of these and test them out. When you've got headwind, tailwind, they're still useful.
Yeah, totally. Chris, just so people are going to want to connect with you. I always leave this in the show notes anyway. So how people can connect with you, just a little bit maybe about Planet K2 and a little bit about the performance room. And so I'll leave it in the show notes. But if people have listened today, then they can get straight on and connect and find out more.
Yeah, yeah. So Planet K2, you can follow us on LinkedIn. We've kind of got that, myself on LinkedIn. Chris Shambrook, you can sort of link in, sort of follow on LinkedIn as well if required. The performance room, at the moment, we are sort of trying to make that available to as many businesses as possible, free for 6 months. So again, if people want this, the full access to the all singing, all dancing performance room as well, just drop onto the landing page at the performance room and get in touch with us via that as well. We can make that happen. You know, we are we're just looking to sort of be as supportive as possible for everyone with the knowledge that we've got about performing, you know, in all manner of circumstances. We've got some great stuff to share, which, you know, adds to the mix of a lot of other great information that is, you know, people have available to them now as well. So we kind of want to keep pushing that as much as we can. And if people are interested, if there's, you know, believeperform.com is also part of the Planet K2 family. There's a lot of really great stuff in there from a sports specific perspective, but also mental health. So we've just got a new partnership with Sports Aid that's been announced. So a lot of the stuff that's available on Believe Perform is going to be available to all the people on the Sports Aid grants and part of that fantastic organisation, as well as, you know, a whole other host of places that Believe Perform is doing great work as well. So, yeah, we're trying to help with content and expertise. So connect via the performance room, via planetk2.com. You know, we're sort of looking to be as helpful
as possible. Great. And just from my perspective, if anyone has listened to this, please connect. Go in the performance room. Absolutely, is like top level stuff. People that have been there, seen it, done it, worn the t-shirt, the shoes, the jacket. Just wanted to say, if anyone has checked in, normally if I've done my podcast at the gym, I've got the screen, my video guy videoing it, and it's all done. I'm actually doing this on my own all software. So we've got Facebook Live here through Zoom. We've also gone LinkedIn Live just through my phone, obviously recording the podcast as well. If anyone did watch on LinkedIn, I know that you can see Chris and his slides and the company logo well, maybe not me as well, which actually doesn't matter. I think you are more important to see, Chris, anyway. So apologies there. If anyone watched on LinkedIn, it's a little bit dark. I think the Facebook is going to be visually good for anyone. We haven't been able to see the questions. If anyone's got any questions or want to ask anything, they come through. Me and Chris can obviously see them. I'm sure we can answer those questions anyway. And what I'm going to do, so with this podcast, it will come out in a few days. Brainborn and Business. It's on all my podcast platforms. So you just have to search for it, find it. You can listen to it on your own podcast platform. If anyone's just sort of picking up this now, you'll get the full episode there. I also did a full interview with Chris on series 2, episode 1, and it was a 2-part series, and it was about 2,000 downloads we had on it. It's probably the most popular podcast I've done. I've done 36, well, I've done 28 interviews. Listen to it. It's about an hour and a half over 2 parts, and the things that were covered were superb. We actually went into some around GB rowing and some of the psychology there, what Chris encountered, and he shared so many words of wisdom. And I think there's some real golden nuggets in there, some real knowledge bombs that people can take away. So you just need to go through and search previous episodes. It was, yeah, series 2, episode 1, and a 2-part series with Chris, which was amazing.
Yeah, and I promise I didn't do all the 2000.
Yeah. Mate, do you know what? It was one of them. I've got a community, and it's nice when people reach out, and I love feedback, positive or negative, because I think we can learn from it and stuff. And it was one of the most popular, what people messaged in terms of the content and value they got. And that's why we're doing it. You know, it's why I've adapted this podcast in the next few weeks for like 4 at 4, because I just think 4 key tips around this type of the climate we're in at the moment, I think it's really going to help people. And that's why I'm doing the podcast, really. So, Chris, thanks for your time, mate. Yeah, absolutely. Always great to catch up with you. And I know we're going to try and get you down later in the year, hopefully, for something really cool at the gym around an education series. So stay tuned for that. Mate, just stay safe, stay well, and keep doing what you're doing.
And yourself. And hope the little is all right as well, and enjoy the rest of the
Thanks, life. Chris. And thanks to everyone for listening. Take care, all. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. If you know someone that would get value from it, then please share the podcast with them. And if you enjoyed the episode, then if you could leave us a 5-star review on the podcast platform you use, be hugely grateful. And we're really passionate about reaching and helping as many people as possible. I've also got 2 free support groups for anyone that's looking to get more help, more support, more knowledge just around fitness and business and mindset. One's on Facebook, one's on WhatsApp. The WhatsApp group is specifically if you run a business or in business or aspiring to start a business. They both run in the same way in terms of advice and support, podcast clips, interviews, lives, loads of different features we're going to cover. The only difference, the WhatsApp group, it will be more interactive with the instant messaging process. So there'll be other business owners just sharing, talking, advising and helping each other on that. If you just want to connect or reach out to me or discuss anything I've covered on this podcast or previous episodes, then you can connect with me on socials, Oliver Burquez. My main one is LinkedIn. I'd love to connect and have a conversation with you. If you want to email me, you can email me on oliver@4dfit.co.uk, and that's the number 4. Once again, thank you for listening, and I look forward to checking in with you at the next episode.